Welcome to the God's Word portion of the worship from Daleville Christian Church. I begin with an advertisement, and I don't want to fail to make this advertisement to students and or pastors who are looking for employment as pastor. This is a job opportunity for one or more of you. Daleville Christian Church will retire its long-serving pastor in another year. That's me. Daleville Christian Church is an independent Christian church looking to find the next lead pastor of this small but forward-looking congregation. Eventually, it is intended that this position lead towards the full-time lead pastor position upon the present pastor's retirement. What is available now is an associate's position, full or part-time, for training in the life of Daleville Christian Church for the future of the congregation. Please send any inquiries or resumes to me at DalevillePastor1@mac.com. That's DalevillePastor, the number one, at mac.com. I always want to introduce the messages from Daleville Christian Church with this reminder that each one of us decides in our own heart whether we will believe in God or which God, if any, we will believe in. To leave these matters of the heart undecided is similar to leaving a boat unanchored at dock or port. One would have to hope that the wind won't come up or the storm or the hurricane will land somewhere else far away. Anchors and matters of the heart should not be decided in a state of emergency. How many of us are that cool under that kind of pressure in a crisis? You could take time today or this week to consider and decide these matters. They can remain open for review, but have the basics down at least. Then you can live what you believe, always less stressful, more peaceful. I can only talk about Jesus. As a minister, I'm a minister of God's Word, the Bible. I don't know anything else to talk about. I can only speak with any authority on matters of my own heart. You will have to decide about matters of your heart. We do offer each week an affirmation of faith, which we find in God's Word, which had been suggested to me were in use in the earliest churches, either stated or sung. This one from the letter of Titus. At one time, we too were foolish, disobedient, deceived, and enslaved by all kinds of passions and pleasures. We lived in malice and envy, being hated and hating one another. But when the kindness and love of God our Savior appeared, He saved us, not because of righteous things we had done, but because of His mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ, our Savior, so that, having been justified by His grace, we might become heirs, having the hope of eternal life. The reading of God's Word for today is from Matthew's Gospel in the 5th chapter, what is commonly referred to as the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew's Gospel, but just the 43rd through the 46th verses. Jesus said, "You have heard that it was said, 'Love your neighbor and hate your enemy.' But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. He causes His sun to rise on the evil and the good and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. If you love those who love you, what reward will you get?" I remind you that Jesus refers to the sons of the Heavenly Father because in Jesus' day only the sons inherited the Father's property. Jesus wants all of us to be sure that we will all be sons of the Heavenly Father. All of us will inherit the kingdom of our Heavenly Father. May the Lord add His blessing to this reading of His holy word. Most people who claim to follow Jesus know the greatest commandments: love God and love your neighbor as yourself. At least your pastor wants to believe that most Jesus followers know that Jesus said these words. Most Jesus followers know these words of our Lord, but I get the idea in this country that not all Jesus followers know that. Like that Baptist church that protests at soldiers' funerals, the Westboro Baptist Church. They are a designated hate group. Since the death of Westboro's founding pastor, several of his family members have left the church, and for all my grief at what the internet has become, one of the founding pastor's granddaughters gives credit to the free speech of the internet to helping her leave that cult-like church. The author of the article where I read that stated the information superhighway, for lack of a better phrase, has equal powers of healing and destruction for our society. As often as I preach about love, and officially on our website, 27 sermons have the word love in the sermon title, but as often as I've preached about love, it might be helpful if we, Jesus followers, try to understand how easy it is to hate other people. And Christians should understand that it is easy for us human beings to hate other human beings. The Bible might call hate sinful, but that only labels hate as being outside God's will for us, His churches. Although clearly the Westboro Baptist Church would confirm that not only is hate easy, but that God wants His churches to hate. Jesus' commandment was a part of last week's message. The Heavenly Father loved the disciples, loved Jesus, and Jesus calls us to remain in that love. Hate is not in that picture. God does not have to teach us to hate. God does not have to show us how to hate. Human beings are able to hate other human beings at very horrible levels. And human beings can do that all by themselves. The basic reason that we humans can be so advanced in the ways of hate is because hate is easy. Why is hate easy? Hate is easy because hate serves the self. We are supposed to serve God. Hate serves the individual human. Hate is selfish. Hate is always looking after the self. I should probably say that hate is always looking out for the selfish. Hate serves the self. Love serves God. Hate serves us. Hate usually blames others and therefore relieves the selfish from any responsibility. Hate says it's always someone else's fault. Hate scapegoats. I want to use a child as an example, not of hate, because I want to use children because they give us adults simple examples. How many teachers have watched a child steal a crayon or a pencil from a classmate and the teacher calls the child on it and the child says, "No, I didn't. It wasn't me." That's the simplest thing to say. It doesn't take any mental energy to say, "No, not me." I guess I could have used Adam in the garden as a biblical example. Genesis 3:11, the Lord God said to Adam, "Have you eaten of the tree of which I commanded you not to eat?" The man said, "The woman. The woman whom thou gave to be with me, she gave me the fruit of the tree." This does not give us examples of hate. It just demonstrates how easy it is, how ready we are to blame others or simply deny our own actions. How ready we are to serve our selfish selves. Now we bring another factor in toward hatred. Hate is fueled by fear, or by its milder forms of concern and worry. We've just spent a few Sunday morning messages talking about America's fears, so even if we can't agree on our fears, maybe that's a good thing, because if we could all agree that someone else is frightening, or someone else is stealing from us, or another country is, we would all agree to hate that other person or country. Hatred surfaces when our self-interests and ambitions collide with those of others. Usually fear, insecurity, and self-preservation, or we believe that others' interests and ambitions collide with others. That is, our interests and ambitions collide with others. We only have to believe it. It doesn't have to be true. All we have to believe in is scarcity. That there isn't enough of something. If food is scarce, animals will fight for their food source. So will human beings. But animals rarely fight to the death for a food source. And animals don't hate. Humans will hate and kill. Let me talk about my people a moment. The Neanderthals. As I've mentioned to you before, my older brother, 7 years older, came home from school one day and said I was a Neanderthal. And now science says my brother just might be right. Actually, my brother was more insulting, because what he learned in school was that Neanderthals were knuckle-dragging, ignorant, simple ape-like people. Now, we know that isn't true, but I haven't asked my brother yet if he's kept up on the latest research on Neanderthals. We still don't know exactly why my people, the Neanderthals, disappeared. Science believes that Neanderthals were in Europe first, before human Homo sapiens. But science isn't sure why Neanderthals disappeared. Well, most of us disappeared. Did humans out-hunt Neanderthals, and humans got all the food? Or did humans fight the Neanderthals for the food and kill the Neanderthals? Science doesn't know. Now, apparently, some human groups and Neanderthals were good neighbors, or I wouldn't have Neanderthal DNA. But like I said, at least that's what my brother told me. What we do know is that human beings got to the top of the food chain first, and we know that human beings are even capable of cannibalism when food is scarce. Even modern Western human beings, Americans, even have been capable of cannibalism. We can remain selfish even if there are only two people in the room and we believe it is kill or be killed. We've had a number of reports in the news in the last couple of years where someone, usually under the influence of alcohol, gets in front of the wrong apartment door or on the wrong front porch of a house. And from inside comes a gunshot that kills the person who was, it was believed, was a threat to life or property. That's how easy it is to hate. You only have to believe the other person is your enemy. We only have to believe the other person is a threat. The other person doesn't even have to really be an enemy or a thief or a threat to us. And with regard to killing, I have a couple of my books on my shelf by clinical psychologists who argue that hate can sometimes lead to suicide. A person turns their anger toward themselves, feel it's necessary to use their anger to kill and destroy, even to destroy themselves. The psychologists say that anger is not the only cause of some suicides, but it can be one of the causes of some suicides. But the psychologist's theory demonstrates how destructive hatred can be, even to destroy one's self. And now in the 21st century, because of the internet, hate can spread rapidly. Have you ever heard the phrase, "No bond is stronger than two people who hate the same person"? It turns out there's actually some scientific truth to that statement. Despite hating people being a socially unacceptable act, on the few occasions when people have the guts and/or strong emotion to motivate themselves to share their negative opinions about a person, it often pays off in the form of new or stronger connections to the other person who dislikes that person. This is one explanation how groups like ISIS or Islamists can radicalize people using the internet. You might recall that a few years ago, when ISIS started spreading rapidly, a few young people got caught up in their hate speeches and left the United States to join ISIS. People can bond to one another over hate. Consequently, it's hard to maintain a relationship with someone while your good friend or best friend hates that person. This happens often when a divorce can get nasty. So the couple now really dislike each other, but the in-laws are never a part of that and still want to keep the relationship with the ex. The same kind of conflict is part of what can make a pastor's job difficult in a congregation. Called to love all and embrace all while one person or faction of church people actively dislike another member of the congregation. Unlike the factions of the congregation, the pastor is called to care for others that factions don't care for. Why would the pastor try to do that? Because that's what Jesus would do. Jesus was a rabbi. Jesus loved Matthew. Matthew was a tax collector. Many other rabbis didn't like Matthew, wouldn't even talk to him. Jesus did the more difficult task of caring for the rabbis and Matthew. Don't think that Jesus hated the Pharisees, and certainly not all of the Pharisees. Jesus was always open for the Pharisees to see Jesus' light, if they would have ears to hear and eyes to see. Research has found, you see, science is always studying things, research has found that people form stronger bonds when they are able to talk about their dislike towards someone else. And those are stronger bonds than when they have positive feelings toward the same person. The dislike forms stronger bonds when they both dislike the same person than when they have positive feelings toward the same person. The dislike forms a stronger bond. Sharing hatred toward the someone is a way for the group to strengthen their bonds and defense. And since this is a scientific study of human beings, it may explain how and why human beings got to the top of the food chain. And humans were the only hominids to get to the top. But the point again is, one reason human beings hate other human beings is because it's so easy to do. It can even feel right to hate someone if a friend of yours also hates that person. But our Lord Jesus stated, you might even have been taught to hate your enemies, but I say, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. Jesus is saying that hating other people is no way to go through life. And hating other people is not the way of blessedness or happiness. Hatred is not the way of the Heavenly Father or of the Son. Science would also tell you that happiness has to do with the quality of our relationships. Hatred is not a quality of happiness, no matter how easy it may be to hate someone. But if hate is easy, is love hard? It can be. You've heard of tough love. Loving someone can be tough. I remember reading someone who said, I'm sorry I can't love you the way you want to be loved, but I love you. I've talked to you about Dr. Gary Chapman. Dr. Chapman would say, that sorry doesn't cut it. Love demands that with intimate friends and family, we learn to speak the other person's love language and speak that language of love to them, even if it's not your love language. Dr. Chapman has spoken with many couples who were in love, but the one partner wasn't feeling it. Why? Because the spouse had not yet learned to speak the language of love that the partner already spoke. Once you know their love language and then speak that love language, the partner will begin to feel more loved. So learning to speak love can take some effort. Some people have a hard time loving themselves because they weren't loved as a child. Loving them was not shown to them by their family, so they never learned how to love themselves. Can love be hard to do or show? It can be, if you never had any examples growing up. Hate is easy. Love can be hard. Is that why Jesus said, in a later chapter of Matthew, chapter 7, for the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction, and those who enter by it are many. For the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life. Hate is easy. Love can be hard. So that leads us to the question, if love can be hard, where do we get the energy and resources to love others? Jesus told us, the Heavenly Father loves us. The Heavenly Father loved the Son. Jesus loves us. Abide in Jesus' love. The Heavenly Father, God of the universe, creator, redeemer, friend, loves us with a crazy, unlimited, willful love. You and I are to draw upon that love through the Holy Spirit to love others. Isn't that what Jesus said? Isn't that what we proclaim in our statements of faith? Today's statement, we lived in malice and envy, being hated and hating one another. But when the kindness and love of God, our Savior, appeared, He saved us. We have been renewed by the Holy Spirit. 3 weeks ago, we proclaimed 2 Timothy chapter 1. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God. For the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power and love. Or Ephesians chapter 2. But because of His great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, created in Christ Jesus for good works, that we should walk in them. See Colossians 1:8 or 1 John 4:7. The Apostle Paul talked about it this way in his love chapter, the one you always hear at Christian weddings. Chapter 13 of 1 Corinthians. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels but have not love, I'm a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains but have not love, I am nothing. If I give away all I have, if I deliver my body to be burned, but have not love, I gain nothing. You and I can claim or think we got it all spiritually, but without love, it isn't worth a thing. Jesus said, John 13:35, by this all people will know that you are my disciples if you have love one for another. If you know that you are beloved of the Father and of the Son, you have the power to love. How do I know? Because you are the beloved of the Father and of the Son. Amen.